Nair, journalist Alan Nairn, and Sarah Canosian, and Tegucigalpa, Honduras, and Congressmember Jan Schakowsky. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm. The time now is 7:59, and coming up next, it's the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Creating the Democracy Movement to Abolish Corporate Personhood on Thursday, December 7th, at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Catlin Spicozzi Belknap, Executive Director of Move to Amend, speaks on how to abolish corporate personhood and control money in the political system. Again, that's Creating the Democracy Movement to Abolish Corporate Personhood on Thursday, December 7th, at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Hats for the Homeless donation drive. From now until December 15th, please drop off clean, new, or gently used hats, scarves, and gloves at the following locations: Cloud City Ice Cream on 45th and Southeast Woodstock, Cup and Saucer at 30th and Northeast Killingsworth, Fire on the Mountain at 57th and Northeast Fremont, Los Gorditos at 12th and Southeast Division, and here at KBOO Community Radio at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. The folks at Zippity News will pick up all donations on December 15th and distribute them to local shelters. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hey, good morning. This is KBOO, 90.7 on your FM dial here in Portland, Oregon. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Abe Proctor, Joe Uris, I'm Joe Uris. You can call us at 231-8187. And we're going to talk about what else? What else?
Oh, I don't know. Just the largest reorganization of the tax structure since the Reagan administration.
Oh, I think maybe even before that. It's the rich take it all process.
It's the rich take it all process, yeah.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Well, it's been going on for some time. This is really just the capper.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Stick fork on us, we're done.
I'm so rich, and you know how it is.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I know.
I'm very interested to hear what people are thinking about this for reasons that I'll get to in just a moment. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program. Did you say that?
I did.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right. My head's all over the place
short-term
today.
Short-term memory is the first to go.
I got a lot to look forward to then.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll get to meet people several times. That'll
that's
be kind of nice.
That's true. You'll have a lot of new friends.
Yeah, that's right. You can also write us at the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Abe and Joe, or on the Twitter machine, which I would really like to see more use of.
More twitting.
More twitting. That's at HonestAbe72. So the rich donor class has finally come a-knockin'.
I get to sing.
You get to sing?
The rich get richer and the poor get children. Ain't we got fun? That's it.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
Very nice.
All the singing I can do.
Short and sweet?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. The House of Representatives, week before last, passed their version of the new tax bill. The Senate, a few days ago, passed theirs. The two bills are now heading for conference committee for resolution, which is how things work in our republic. In our nation of laws, that's how it works. The two sides will be reconciled. Then the bill will go to the president to be signed into law.
And he'll sign it.
Yeah, most definitely he will.
Yeah, if he isn't indicted before then.
If he isn't, indicted before then. That's an interesting concept, isn't it?
Right.
Can the president stay out of jail long enough to sign the new
tax
bill?
Well, in fact, he can. Can he be president in jail?
Can he be president in jail? That's
let's not talk about that.
This thing is a stinker. This is one of the worst pieces of legislation to come down the pike in a long, long time. And I make that statement in full view of the USA Patriot Act, of the warrantless wiretapping program, and on and on and on.
Yes.
This thing is terrible. This is really the culmination of all that the ruling class has wanted since the New Deal, since they were taxed at a rate commensurate with the health and with the health of a modern industrial society. That's what we had after the New Deal. We had highest marginal tax rates for individual corporations north of 90%. And with those rates in place, we saw the largest growth of the middle class of any point in human history. And alongside that, we saw the conditions created for the flourishing of the civil rights movement, of the women's rights movement and gay rights movements. We saw the greatest flowering of art and music and cinema that this nation has ever seen. All of this happened when people were taxed at a rate today that would be laughed at. So the victory of the rich in many ways is all but complete.
And I want to add, it's not all the rich, it's just 99% of the rich, to be fair.
99% of the 1%.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. Yeah, those people will benefit most of all. The top tax rate for millionaires would fall under this plan from 39.6% to 38.5%. That doesn't sound like a whole lot, but there's a whole bunch more goodies in this bill for the very good.
It's almost 500 pages, and I tried to read it, and I couldn't.
No. I couldn't, and so did many lawmakers.
And they've got things written on the side in handwriting.
In handwriting, yeah. To give you some sort of perspective on this, this bill was drafted, rammed through committee, and voted on by both houses of Congress in a span of just a few weeks. If you want to compare this to the Affordable Care Act, which was debated for more than a year, literally dozens of hearings were held. Multiple committees in both houses of Congress debated this thing in public. And then finally, the full Senate, remember the world's greatest deliberative body? Remember that? Remember those guys?
How could forget?
Indeed. They talked about it for 3 months. This thing, this abomination, this final blood sacrifice on the altar of wealth was passed in secret with many people not even having the chance to fully read the piece of legislation.
Well, I think many people actually voted on the faith of the party, sort of. The party it's like the old Soviet system. The party dictates and you follow.
No, I don't think that's it.
You don't?
No, we've had multiple reports from many congressional offices of people saying that the donors called up and said, look, we're going to stop writing checks unless you can deliver tax reform to us.
Whoa, that's cold.
So that's not the party calling the tune. That's the ruling class calling the tune. Now, you're saying maybe these things are indistinguishable.
Yes.
But I really don't think they are.
Okay.
I think our rulers are capitalists, and they exist regardless of party, and that their tendrils have sunk deeply into both sides of the aisle here.
Sounds painful.
It is painful. And this, speaking of painful, this is going to hurt everybody who's not in the very highest part of the 1%. They've sold this thing by front-loading it with tax cuts for the middle and working classes. But these are all set to sunset in about 10 years, at which point, if you're a typical homeowner, a typical middle-class family, you're going to see your taxes go up. This is an abomination. This is does not reflect the priorities of most Americans. And when put side by side against the national priority, and let's be honest here, how a nation decides to tax itself is indicative of its collective priorities. Can we agree on that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So when you place this tax structure alongside that of the rest of the industrialized world, it's clear that our priorities are in a far different place than the other advanced nations.
Yes.
And we are going to see the beginning of a divergence. Not the beginning of a divergence, maybe the end of a divergence. We are from all these other countries. If this thing passes, you can kiss universal health care goodbye. Because what's in this bill? The abolition of the Obamacare individual mandate, which essentially means the end of that system. As flawed and imperfect as it is, this is going to spell the end for that system. Yeah, some 13 million people will be dumped off their health care by this bill.
Let me just explain very quickly. The individual mandate makes it insurance. That is, the healthy, as any insurance system, life insurance, whatever, the healthy ones pay in so that the sick ones or the dying ones can get their help.
Yeah, precisely. It's really the only way you make a market-based system like Obamacare work, right?
Right.
Is that you have to say to everybody, you've got to buy insurance. And the other thing, the other leg of the, or one of the legs of the so-called three-legged stool of Obamacare are government subsidies to help people purchase insurance. Now, we've talked about this many times on this program. It is an imperfect system. It falls far short of what we need. And it's not the single-payer system that a lot of Americans want and which would serve us better. But it represents a significant step forward from the status quo antebellum, so to speak. And this tax bill would plunge us right back to that place. Well, this thing stinks on every possible level.
Well, what's in it? I don't even know what's in it.
A lot of people don't know what's in it. It's the House side calls for a radical restructuring of the inheritance tax. Guess who would benefit under this radical restructuring of the inheritance tax?
Donald Trump said he would be hurt by it.
No, but his spawn would benefit. If your name is Ivanka Trump, if your name is Donnie Trump Jr., you're doing very, very well under this tax bill.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Oh, well, thank goodness. Yeah. This thing is a real stinker.
Apparently, he likes his daughter a lot, too.
Well, we'll save that conversation for another time. All right, I've ranted enough. Let's take a few phone calls. Who do we have first? Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Anyone who still believes that this is our government, one that's of, by, and for the people, had better wake up. It is owned, bought, and paid for by the same corporate global oligarchs and their lobbyists that have appointed almost all of our government officials, including that brainwashed Manchurian candidate of a so-called president who was not elected any more than was George W. Bush in 2000 or in 2004. Our electoral process is a fraudulent charade, from corporate media collusion to proprietary touchscreen voting machines and criminal anti-American voter suppression techniques. Both parties are guilty. Good cop, bad cop politics has to stop. There's an old saying in politics, take off the gloves or bend over. The light of our democracy is going out. Snap out of it. Start forming political coalitions now.
Okay.
Greens, whatever. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the comment.
I cannot challenge or argue with any of that. In fact, that
well,
I think
you should.
No, sir. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying everything you just laid on the table is absolutely correct. And thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome.
Yeah. In fact, I think our show is done for today.
Okay. Well,
thank you
goodbye.
For listening. All right.
Put on music. What?
No. He's absolutely correct. I can't challenge any of that.
No.
Can you?
No.
No. Okay. What else is in this tax bill?
Well, yeah. Is it true that a fetus can be declared a person?
In the House version of the bill, it's unclear as to whether or not this will survive.
Well, remember my plan to get rich on the impossibility of a woman who's sexually active knowing for sure whether or not she's created a viable zygote.
Oh, you plan to start funeral homes for...
Yes, exactly. I'm going to sell little coffins, and we'll have Christian burials.
Yeah, that's as classy a position as it ever was, Joe.
Well, it won me a job on radio.
On the tax version of this bill, there is a provision that would allow fetuses to be named as beneficiaries of college savings accounts known as 529 plans. 529 plans are an imperfect vehicle for paying for college to begin with, but we're not going to start on that. So this is a foot in the door for criminalizing an abortion eventually and declaring that zygotes are full human beings.
Yeah.
So really, they're after everything they've ever wanted.
I think it might be the I think it might be the hidden agenda of the gay community.
I'm going to let that one go right.
I figured you would.
Okay. Corporations win big under this tax bill. The tax rate for big businesses, which right now is at 35%, which Trump has fraudulently claimed is the highest in the industrialized world. That's not even close to being true. That would be cut from 35% to 20% starting in 2 years. This is the largest reduction in the corporate tax rate in history. It also allows companies that have stored profits overseas in tax havens, and by companies that do this, I mean pretty much every major corporation that there is, including ones that hipsters like Apple. Those corporations.
Wait, are you blaming hipsters for Apple? What?
No, I'm not. I'm saying that even corporations that are viewed as progressive.
Oh, I see.
In the way they treat their employees and the environment and so on.
Yeah.
They are guilty of this as well.
Okay.
They will be allowed to bring that money back to the United States and have it taxed at 14.5%. So here's your reward, corporations, for taking this money, bilking the American people out of what you owe in taxes. You're going to get a reward because you'll be able to bring it back, and it's hardly going to be taxed at all.
That's swell.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
I think that's swell.
It's so great. And on and on and on. This is a laundry list of everything the wealthy ruling class has ever wanted since the days of the New Deal.
But they assure us that even though it's never worked before, this will in fact trickle down into vast sums of money for the middle and working classes.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because there is no evidence at all that supply side trickle down economics work. None whatsoever. Every time that this has been put into effect, I'm looking at you, Ronald Reagan, at you, W. Bush, every single time deficits have ballooned and this so-called trickling down has not happened. It is the zombie argument, as Paul Krugman of the Times puts it so succinctly. It has never, ever worked. And they're trying to do it again, and they're selling it to us at the same way. If we cut taxes on the wealthy and on corporations, they will take that money and they will hire more people. They will reinvest it in America. Bullpucky. It's never happened and it never will. You know what they do with this money, Joe?
What?
Maybe they create jobs, but they create jobs in places like China and India and Pakistan and Indonesia. You know what else they do with this money?
No.
They go buy back their own stock, artificially driving up their share prices. Why? Because most CEO compensation is tied directly to how well their stock performs on the market. This never works. Trickle-down economics is a scam, will always be a scam. And if anyone tells you that it works, they are lying to you.
Or they're ignorant. Be fair.
Or they're ignorant. And you know what they're doing now? They're setting themselves up to pull the classic Republican bait and switch. And what do I mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. Every time the Republicans are not in power, they scream about the deficit. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Cast your mind back just a few short years ago to the Obama administration, when the stimulus package was being debated, when the healthcare package was being debated. All you heard from the right was screaming about the deficit. We had this great dance, this great drama that we enacted to show that we are paying due deference to the deficit hawks. Remember the creation of the ridiculous Simpson-Bowles Deficit Commission? Remember that?
Yes.
All this stuff to make sure we don't inflate the deficit and the debt of the United States of America. Then the Republicans come along with this tax bill, which blows the lid off the American debt. It will add more than $1.3 trillion.
I don't even know how many zeros there are in a trillion.
Yeah, well,
I'm
there's
not
a
asking
lot.
You. I'm just there's saying it's a lot of zeros.
So the so-called deficit hawks are going to absolutely gut this country's credit situation. And what's going to happen when they're no longer in power? They're going to turn around and oppose every spending bill that comes down the pike because, oh my God, it's going to add to the deficit. This is what they do. And they have never tried to do it on a scale like this before.
Well, I want to add one thing here, actually, and it's very important to me, and it may be a key factor in some ways about how Americans understand what's going on. And that is that our newspapers, our national news broadcasts, all of this stuff normalize and level the horrors of anything that happens except disasters, like earthquakes or fires. The fact of the matter is that the politicians, particularly the Democratic politicians, do the same thing. They don't actually know how to scream, yell, and fight.
No, they don't.
And the newspapers just, and the television networks, everything, it's all normal. Everything's okay. Don't worry about it. It's just the way it is. It's very, very, very depressing and very dangerous.
Hey, I agree. This is a, this puts us on a slippery slope to becoming a third world country. And I, you know, maybe I'm, maybe that's a pejorative I shouldn't use.
Well, I don't know about, of all, I don't know about the pejorative nature of that, but I also am not sure that what it doesn't really do is put us in a position where we have a military-industrial complex like C. Wright Mills and others used to talk about with unchecked power.
Yeah, you could argue pretty credibly that we're already there. This would simply put the last nail in the coffin of our fair republic.
Yes.
Let's go to the phones. Barth, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let's have Tim come back and tell us what he really thinks about the state of the world. That was great. That was a scathing indictment, and as I would have to agree, it's all true. KBOO is currently promoting an event for tomorrow night about ending corporate personhood. That's the road to go right now, folks, because if we can get a lever in there that says, you know, you can't have unlimited power, maybe we can do something about it. The tax bill is a disaster in every way if you're not really making a good living. I mean, under $60,000, everybody's going to get their butt kicked in 10 years. And, you know, I'm a retired person. I don't make hardly anything. But $60,000 is not a lot of money. So the tax haven, you know, the allowing the reintroduction of offshore capital or offshore profits, besides being a gift, as you said, promotes the idea that all profits or more profits should be funneled from offshore. So the stuff that they're currently making here or coming in on the books here is going to go over to their Irish or, you know, Zimbabwean subsidiary and then be reintroduced at a lower tax rate. So that in itself is going to make money not float around in our economy, and that they will get even a bigger bonus.
Well, I think you're right, and I think it's pretty scary. I'm going to let you go and urge others to call us. And if there's somebody who totally disagrees with us, hey, they're more than welcome to call. I also would like to urge women to speak up here. Yeah, as I've said many times, talk radio seems to be too much a male medium, and I wish there were more women calling us. But Abe, seriously, what else is there in this thing?
Well, we've hit the major points. I think if you want to understand this thing broadly, it's good. It's good if you're a rich person. It's good if you're a large corporation. It's good if you're a fetus. But other than that, it's not so good. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and you do understand. Everyone should understand. This is almost 500 pages of many of which have writing on the side that's been added to the bill that is indecipherable. It is very freaky, very irresponsible, just on that level alone. But what you're saying about it is absolutely true. And what it really is an enormous payback for the money that the rich have poured into the Republican Party.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And they essentially have knocked on the doors and said the bill is due. So you've got to do this. Again, I'm forced to look at the absolute sheer incompetence of the Trump team. They've really managed to accomplish nothing, legislatively speaking, for nearly a year now. So I suspect that had to do with the pressure that donors are bringing to bear.
Well, they're destroying various scenic sites, bear's ears and so on.
Oh, yeah, there's all that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know.
Right.
Got to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. I talked earlier about taxation being a representation of a culture's collective priorities. I was just fortunate enough to do a little bit of traveling in Northern Europe, and it was deeply impressive to me to be in the midst of a culture with its priorities in the right place. I'm talking about little things, even like you know, public restrooms that are clean and work, and parks that are well maintained, and apartment buildings with daycares on the ground floor of every single one. You know, these are things you see and that are accepted as a matter of course for people who live in these cultures, and it's indicative of their collective priorities. And by that measure, things are so far out of whack here, Joe. It really boggles the mind. Do we really, is this really what we collectively want for ourselves? The answer is a resounding no. But there is nothing at this point that we can do about it.
Well, I think we have to acknowledge the fact that both so-called political parties, and I say so-called because they are like unlike political parties most places in democracies, that both political parties are shams. The Democrats and I have to say the media itself have all colluded to create a bizarre situation, particularly at the administrative level, at the presidential level, and so on. It's quite creepy, and it's quite scary, and it's going to get, I'm afraid, worse in time.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
But hey, you know.
Yep. You know, and I'm tempted to say, well, you know, what about a wave election next year and then 2 years later? Like, what if we were able to flip both the House and the Senate to Democratic control? I don't really see that as a viable solution to the problem we're in either, because, you know, while the Democrats are a more effective vehicle for progressive priorities than the Republicans by a country mile, they're still pretty deep in the pockets of the donor class. You know, we saw 8 years of the Obama administration where there was some significant progress made on progressive priorities, but there are a whole lot of areas, you know, for look at regulation of the financial industry, for example, where Obama's efforts fell far short. Why? Because of the influence wielded by the donor class, even on the Democratic Party. So I don't really see any solution in the near future here for us.
Well, you've really depressed me, and I don't know.
It's hard to look at this and not be depressed.
I think I'll go out and shoot a random dog or something.
Oh, if that makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Dave, good morning.
Good morning. Please don't go shoot a dog.
I'm not going to really shoot a dog.
I think that this tax bill shows us we may be becoming a country that does not deserve military defense against its foreign enemies. And as such, all of us progressives should in the next few years try to talk one or two or three young people out of joining the United States military.
Well,
we're going to become a miserable little feudal country, and maybe we'd be better off as a Chinese or an Iranian colony in 25 years.
Oh, no.
That's all I got to say.
Okay, thanks for the call. I think we need to understand, first of all, that the potential for the United States to be a great republic still exists. The possibility, always the possibility of positive social change, progressive politics, and the development of social democracy in the United States still is real. The problem here is that it's so far away. It's so difficult to achieve given the power of monopoly capital. I have always argued, and this is coming out of my Marxist training, that in fact the evolution of capitalism moves inexorably toward a kind of, what do I want to call it, a fascist capitalist state with less and less democracy and less social democracy, that is, less and less programs that serve ordinary people. And this is a very real problem. And when I talk about the failure of the press to look, Donald Trump is admittedly a person who has disrespected women all of his life. He's a very creepy guy, quite insane, and yet very rarely and not shrilly enough, the press, both the media in television and radio and the print media, seem to be unable to call him out loudly enough and often enough. All during the campaign, now I'm not going to defend Hillary Clinton because I was kind of disappointed in her campaigning, But the fact of the matter is that there was no real challenge to the creepy weird that the ex-NBC hero, Donald Trump, represented in the political sphere. It's very sad, very dangerous, and very much out of control. So we're in a really weird situation where what normally would be something you could depend on Congress to rein in is uncontrollable. And I want to make a horrible, but I think real prediction. As Donald Trump gets more and more close to indictment, this is separate from the Republican Party, as he moves closer and closer to being called out for his crimes, we're going to see him get weirder and weirder, which makes me very, very frightened, given that there are real dangers in the world. The United States can't accept the fact that the great horror of nuclear weapons has been unleashed upon the world by the United States, and that it's once released, impossible to call back. When the scientist Khan taught all these other nations how to make nuclear weapons, the genie was out of the box and there was no way to stop it. The reality is North Korea is and probably will remain a thermonuclear threat. And the response of a person like Donald Trump is inappropriate. And the only way to survive in the world, because nuclear weapons are a threat no matter where they're exploded, no matter how they're exploded, the only way to challenge that and to be reasonable about things is through diplomacy and through the give and take of rational behavior, none of which is going to be likely to occur under the regime of the crazy Donald.
We got a lot of callers.
Okay, let's see.
All right, Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Wow. So, welcome to the American nightmare, eh?
Hey, yeah.
So, what if this is a transition to a new paradigm where it's no longer about nations, but it's about literally a corporate state?
Well, I think that's very, very much a viable, maybe even already a serious reality.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think the vestiges of it are, not vestiges, that's not the right word, but the beginnings of it are already in place. You see it with the creation of these international trade organizations, for example, many of which are empowered to supersede the sovereignty of individual nations when it comes to adjudicating trade.
Exactly, because that's the weakness. Well, I mean, it was a strength, but it's now being exposed and exploited as a weakness of the Constitution, that international treaties between sovereign nations supersede the Constitution itself. And these corporations actually created their personhood through the Constitution itself by leveraging in probably one of the greatest ironies in the history of the world, the 14th Amendment, which was intended to give legal status to people who are actually persons, and actually been used by corporations to give protections and rights of persons to a fiction, an idea, and something that doesn't exist. And I was just reading on Twitter that, you know, Trump has donated his third quarter salary, and I put out the question, does this, you know, this is an indicator of how the ruling class intends to sway us, that they, you know, kind of reverting into this patriarchal, paternal, we can take care of you. You don't need the state, right? So I'm going to give my personal salary, and each quarter he's donated to a different federal agency. He donated to the Department of Education. I think he donated to the Arts and Humanities. And what's this most recent one? He donated his money to fund an opioid PR campaign. Okay,
right.
So think Reagan's War on Drugs all over again, right?
Right.
So, that's what I'm seeing is that, you know, the corporate paradigm has positioned itself through the quote-unquote rule of law in the United States to actually supersede the authority of all sovereign states. And really, when you look at the corporate paradigm, it's actually a totalitarian paradigm. It's the perfect pyramidal structure that Mussolini described in 1932.
I'm glad you mentioned that, and that's absolutely correct.
Yeah, that, you know, the decisions are made by the few, and they are executed with fidelity all the way down to the base of the pyramid. And you just trust and believe that the organization, the state, is always has your best interests in mind, no matter what the outcome.
Right, and you couple that with a rabid and irrational nationalism, and you've got fascism.
Yeah, we're talking about making a political change in the electoral process. Well, what happens if Trump has enough handles on the machinery and enough shock troops, brown shirts, militia members, right, who are ready to actually step up and use physical force? Right. We saw inklings of this with the Occupy Wall Street encampments that were systematically destroyed across the country under Obama. So if that was possible with the local police agencies in the face of people exercising their First Amendment rights, what will happen if we don't get our way, or if we do get our way electorally and Trump just decides to pull a military maneuver?
Well, and there's even another layer of fraud in potential and reality already. We don't use paper ballots. We have machines tabulating our election results, which is something ultimately very tampered with. And the consequence of that, instead of paper ballots, I mean, paper ballots, you mark it, everybody sits around, it gets counted everywhere. It's absolutely a foolproof system as long as there's counters who are on all sides. That's not our system. Our system is putting trust in an electronic device, which we know can be messed with.
Yeah, so I think, we're going to just have to start building the alternatives on the ground where we are and be prepared for, I think, a lot of different levels of resistance and organization. I think it's going to get more intense before it gets better.
I think you're right, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think you're right. You mentioned the violence wielded against Occupy Wall Street encampments. I would also point to the recent demonstrations in Charlottesville, Virginia. There we saw evidence of right-wing groups willing to use political violence.
Yeah. And the response by the administration, which was very milquetoast, right? And so which only emboldens these folks that are waiting in the wings. I just saw a meme that's like, you know, we understand what's going on and we're ready to step up and support you with arms, you know? And it's not many people, right? This is we're still talking about a minority of folks, but you know, they're very well armed and they've been organizing under the radar since Bush slashed the domestic terrorism budget in favor of international terrorism, right? Where we stopped monitoring white nationalists and militia groups in the United States.
Yeah.
And they've been organizing and proliferating the whole time. And then that accelerated in the last 8 years with the arrival of a black president, which our current president absolutely exploited on the basis of the racist birther movement, right? And so here we are in this place where we've got these ascendant militia groups that are all over the place. They're right outside Portland. And, we've got to really think deeply about where we are and what all possible options are for moving forward, because it's getting real quick.
I couldn't agree more, and thank you very much for the call. Excellent points, as always. Let's not forget that the President of the United States was unable to say that Nazis are bad.
Right.
Let's remember that. Let's carry that around with us everywhere we go.
Well, the big—I don't want to—I don't want to spend time on Trump today. But the big question about him is: he just totally insane, or is he insane with a fascist purpose?
Yes,
and that's the only question.
The answer is yes.
Yes, okay. To both. Okay.
All right. Coming up today on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, Professor of History Alfred McCoy says that.
Alfred McCoy is one of my heroes.
Oh, cool. He's going to be on the radio today, right after us.
He's great. He talked about the politics of heroin in Southeast Asia.
Well, today he's going to say that military expansion and imperial overreach is leading to the end of the U.S. empire. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, D.M.A. Roberts welcomes New York performing artist Sumi Kim and the world premiere of her new work, Change, as part of the Boom Arts season. at 11:30. On Art Focus, Joseph Galavan interviews Jeannie Kanmotsu, apologies for pronunciation, Portland Art Museum's curator for Japanese art about modern Japanese prints. All this and more coming up today on your listener-supported community radio station. I should add that we just finished our winter membership drive. Has there ever been a more important time for KBOO in your life than right now?
Never.
No. So if you didn't take advantage of that membership drive, you don't have to wait till the next one. You log on to KBOO.fm, you click on the donate button, support this radio station.
And if you've come into some cash and you think about Christmas presents, give the world a present. Give that money to KBOO.
All right, this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Program. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. We're also taking your comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/AbeandJoe. Also on the Twitter machine at HonestAbe72. Trevino writes into the Facebook page to say, as a U.S. citizen, I'm apathetic to U.S. politics. As a citizen of a Lakota nation, I'm apathetic to U.S. citizens' apathy to U.S. politics.
That's good. I like that.
That is good.
The Lakota peoples have been betrayed so much, so often. This bear's ear snatching and these other grabbing of public lands and turning them over to the oil industry is an actual attack against Native American peoples.
Yeah. And using the rhetoric that they're returning these lands to the people.
Well, and we saw the disgusting president of the United States posing the Navajo heroes of World War II against a picture of President Jackson, who was the most vicious Indian fighter in our history.
And then he called Senator Warren Pocahontas.
Well, he has no, you
know, in front of these World War II vets.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Anyway. All right. Let's go to the phones. Xander is next. Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
Oh, okay. I just want to put my two cents in for hope.
Okay, let's go with hope.
I do. I want to mirror what you said earlier about justice. You know, it tends, you know, the world's efforts, progressive efforts, tend to travel in an arc towards justice. And
well, that's a line from Martin Luther King, isn't it?
It is, and he probably got it from some other wise person. And I'm 50, so I may not be there with you when it happens, but I'm gonna do my little thing every day. So,
well, I think I've often said, and I really believe this. I was influenced by Dorothy Day and the Catholic Worker Movement. I'm not Catholic, and I'm not a religious person particularly. But she argued that there is a great sin which we all have to avoid, particularly when things are hard, which is the sin of despair. And I think that is a very great danger for all of us. It turns us apathetic, it turns us grim, it turns us angry, and it turns us ineffective. We have to take on the role of possibility versus the impossible. And we have to do that as an existential act, not because we're going to win or because we're going to lose or whatever. We never know the outcome. You never know the outcome. Therefore, struggle is imperative. Putting your life on the line, if necessary, is imperative. This is really the only moral choice that we have.
All right. Who's next? Anna. Anna, good morning.
Good morning. This is Anna G here, and I've been trying to swim up and catch my breath from all the morass of sexism and pedophiles and, you know, sexual harassers. I finally got in to do a little research on the YouTube, and have you guys ever heard of a billionaire named Nick Hanauer?
No, I haven't.
He's very interesting.
Kind of rings a bell, actually.
YouTube. Mm-hmm. I saw him on the YouTube. He's been on the TED Talk. You can Google him by Nick Hanauer with an H.
Uh-huh.
And the pitchforks are coming. He's warning the billionaires that the pitchforks are coming. Do you know what that's related to?
No.
The French Revolution.
Oh, of course. Sure. Hmm.
He's warning that we're going to get so angry here that there's going to be a lot of us in the streets. And if you just type in there, Nick Hanauer, and the pitchforks are coming, you're going to see something, and I'd love to hear what you guys think about that. He's a billionaire, and he's warning the other billionaires. You better watch out.
All right, well, thank you. I don't know if we'll be able to get to that on this show, but that's certainly bear some investigation.
We'll check it out.
Yeah, it's very important, I think. He's a good guy, I think.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you very much.
There's another billionaire who is organized this very visible impeach Trump movement.
Yeah, he's actually self-funded some television ads.
And name a big billboard on Times Square right and everything. Yeah. I mean, he's really serious.
Huh.
So there's, you know, interesting stuff happening.
I don't want to sound like an apologist for plutocrats right now, but I'm glad that there are billionaires who are able to see our society with clear eyes and understand that the direction we're heading is a suicidal one. You know, and given to the extent to which you know, wealthy people wield influence in this country, that's good. We need more wealthy people with that kind of message saying it loudly.
Well, it's unlikely, given the class structure, that you're going to have a lot of heroes among the plutocrats. But you will find individuals among that class who do understand the dangers and who are quite happy with their lives but want to see more social justice. Social justice is not necessarily absolutely linked to being a poorer person or a richer person. It is something that is lively in the human heart. I really believe that.
Yeah, I believe that too. All right, Doug is next. Doug? Dougie, did I get that right?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to the show, and I was hearing, you know, all the good news. I guess I'm being sarcastic, mm-hmm. but I thought I'd add a little bit more reason of why not to be that happy besides.
Well, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I may as well throw this in here. Well, I really suggest people check out the new climate science report that came out 2 weeks ago. You know, by the end of the century, maybe even before that, with the status quo as it remains, business as usual, the rest of the world is trying to, you know, slow down their emissions, but the United States is full speed ahead with Donald Trump and the Koch brothers and ExxonMobil. But this is what we also have to look forward to for our kids and our kids' kids is the growth and spread of infectious disease. By 2050, the majority of the planet will be experiencing drought across the whole world. More famine. Of course, there's the rapid deterioration of permafrost in the Arctic that holds about 1,500 gigatons of methane, which will be, once it starts to be released, you know, and deteriorates, going to be even more heating than we're already experiencing from CO2 in the atmosphere. Then we're going to have, by 2050, more ocean acidification and death of the coral reefs. Already brought up the spread of infectious disease, but massive species extinction. We're expecting between 25 to 50% of all species on Earth could be extinct by the end of the century. And of course, on top of all that, more wildfires and more extreme superstorms. Tornadoes, hurricanes, cyclones, typhoons. I just thought I'd throw that on top of there.
Well, I do appreciate it. It is cheering. But thank you for giving us a little.
You're welcome.
It's good to have a little bit of reality. Go ahead.
And I think the millennials, I'm hoping that the millennials will take charge and that we could possibly have the political revolution that Bernie was talking about, because 45% of the American public votes during elections. If we could turn that around and encourage everyone to participate, there may be the possibility that we can right the ship.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
And
all right, y'all have a good one.
You too. Well, thanks for the call.
Though he's right and it scares me.
Okay. Do you have the key to the liquor cabinet? I think we may need to break that open.
I think it's not liquor that's going to help. I think fentanyl is the drug of choice here.
We have some callers standing by, but I wanted to touch on one more element of this tax bill that I find particularly absurd.
Okay.
And that has to do with graduate students, research students at major universities.
You mean people who discover new things that help humankind?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, if you're a researcher and you're a graduate student, typically you're working for a major university, whether it's public or whether it's private, and you spend your time researching. Typically, you don't get paid a whole lot if you're a graduate research student.
Right.
But one of the reasons that, in fact, for most students of this kind, the only way they're able to do this is that the institutions they work for front them the cost of tuition. They say, well, you're a student, but you don't have to pay tuition because you're here doing valuable research. We're going to give you a small stipend to live on, but you don't have to pay tuition.
Yeah, I was a benefit of such a thing.
Right. Under this tax bill, that tuition would have to be counted as income.
Whoa, really?
Yes. So the typical graduate researcher would see their tax bill triple. For many, many people, this is going to mean that they cannot pursue a career in research because they simply won't be able to afford it. So what this means, what we're sacrificing on the altar of the very wealthy now, is our status as a major scientific nation. We are going to gut our own ability to turn out talented new researchers every generation. And we're going to do it just so the very rich can be a little bit richer.
Well, in the meanwhile, I don't know what the percentage really is, but somewhere between 30 to 40% of Americans believe the entire universe is only a week old. So what are you going to do?
Well, clearly we're not going to have anybody research how old the universe is. All right, who's next? Stuart, good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you guys for your show this morning and all the great callers. I couldn't agree more with what you guys are saying, but I just wonder what's it going to take to, since all these other people are being called out, you know, about their harassment and stuff, you know, when is this going to come down to Donald Trump? You know, he's beyond it? I just don't get it. So,
in the context of this tax bill, and of what's been going on in this country for decades now, Trump is neither here nor there. He's sort of the racial ethno-nationalist avatar of a portion of the right wing. But this takeover by the rich has been going on without Trump and will go on without Trump.
Yeah, but he's broken law. You know, he all the time, and you know, sexual harassment. What? It's okay for him, I guess.
Well, it's not okay for anyone. But the thing is that, as I said earlier, what has happened with our media is they level the field of horror, so that we don't really fully, as a nation, appreciate what the hell's going on. And that's true in any area of concern, any political area, or even any social area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that is a real problem.
Guys.
Yeah, thank you for the call.
You know, he's right that Donald Trump is a big part of the problem that's going on right now. But I maintain that this attempt by the wealthy to calcify their control over our society would happen independent of Trump.
Oh, I think that's true.
But that said, there are many, many, many reasons why he needs to go, and he needs to go quickly.
Well, I'm scared that as they get closer and closer to putting him in jail, he's going to get freakier and freakier. And one way for him to distract, of course, would be to have a war. And having a war with Donald probably means a nuclear exchange. So that's what's really scaring me about Donald.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's go to the phones. Edith, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Joe and Abe. And I'm glad someone else called in with some of the comments about global climate change. I want to address a solution that I think could also be a major problem. I thought I heard a caller say we need to change it so that we don't have treaties being the ultimate law of the land. That's going to screw sovereignty of indigenous peoples who are our great hope in protecting us from the climate disasters and the economic disasters that we need to insist on these treaties being maintained. Not WTO, not NAFTA, but but certainly that we have our air, water, fisheries, native lands, and local rights. And one way we can deal with this whole big major international problem is locally in Southern Oregon. The Southern Connector pipeline from fracked gas from Canada and the Great Plains in Montana going through Malin, Oregon to Coos Bay to Jordan Cove LNG terminal to go to Asia, which means even if we don't have the huge fires and explosions and wildfires, we're going to have methane leak the whole way, and then it's on an earthquake fault line, and these tankers are like 3 football fields, and so there's huge distance in which fishing boats, trawlers, tourist boats, etc., are not allowed to be near. Mm-hmm. If there's a storm, they can't come in. So locally, what we can do is work in solidarity with First Nations people, environmentalists, and labor in coming up with a just transition with sustainable green energy jobs and leverage on Ron Wyden to stop giving in to the corporations screwing Oregon and the world through Southern Oregon. And we can unite across the board with OPAL, with 350, and the Climate Action Coalition, and do our part now so that these big things that are coming down, we can resist. In one way is in pulling our money out of the banks and those that are sponsoring and supporting Trump and these fossil fuel projects. So there's things that we can do as individuals, and we can do collectively. We can do it here in Portland. And while it's not being overwhelmed by the major global issues, it's not really completely addressing capitalism and greed and everything else, but it's something we can do that addresses some of all that.
Yeah, and I want to agree with you. I think there are two things here. One is a little bit metaphysical, which is the existential need to struggle and fight and take on the important issues. The other is there are practical ways, things that you can pry loose. One of the issues that can potentially have enormous effect is to make clear the reactionary stupidity of fossil fuels in an age where we really can produce all the power we need from the wind and the sun. And that is very important. And when we talk about these stupid pipelines, we should make clear to our congresspeople and to our local governments that this is dumb. This is foolish. This is not necessary. And it isn't even a job creator. And I'm glad you called about that, because it is really important.
And we need to emphasize how we lose jobs, and it hurts our economy. We lose jobs. We lose tax base. We lose volunteers. We lose the hidden economy when we allow fossil fuel projects coming through.
I absolutely agree. And thank you very much for the call.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, she's right. Yeah, a collective, concerted effort at a local level is going to be one of the things that helps turn this tide.
I can't think of any kind of struggle that isn't appropriate at this point. We really are, and I'm. It's a dark time. And
I can think of one that's not appropriate at this point.
Okay.
Violent revolution is not appropriate.
Well, it's silly. That's just silly.
Yeah, continue, please.
I think that it's really important that in the quotidian, that is the day-to-day world, all of us need to think about what we're doing. We need to speak up. We need to speak out. We need to act. By the way, saying that, I think I made a mistake in being critical of the Black Bloc a few weeks ago, that's stupid. Every struggle, every way of working toward the goal of changing minds and making people aware are worth trying. You cannot predict. You cannot know if there is or will be or when it will be a turning point. So all methods short of violence are appropriate.
I would agree. Absolutely.
And fighting the good fight, by the way, makes you feel good.
That's true. There is joy in the struggle.
Yeah.
And you're right. Every means needs to be tried short of violent revolution. We need to throw whatever we can at the wall and see what sticks there.
That's
a
disgusting image.
Brian writes in with a message of hope. Abe and Joe, the tax bill is far from over. The Senate and House bills need to be reconciled. Call. Then call again. Then spread the message to your friends and have them call. The number for the Congressional Switchboard, area code 202-224-3121.
Repeat that number.
202-224-3121. I think this needs to happen. I don't know that it will have an effect on the outcome, but it needs to happen.
Well, we need to have, as a nation, an awareness of the legitimate resistance to this insanity.
Yes.
And that's the reason to make those calls, not because you're going to change the mind of these crazy Republicans, who are not the Republicans of my childhood, by the way. And doing that also strengthens your own resolve. So it is always important to continue struggling and reach out in every possible legitimate way.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. So I hope we've given you sufficient reason to despair today, but I also hope we've given you reason to keep fighting the good fight, as you just put it, Joe.
Yeah, I think it's very important, and I think that I, among others, often feel despair in the face of all this, but there is never a time when we know for sure that the game is over. The struggle must continue, the tactics must be varied, and our effort must be continuous and strong.
Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your calls. As always, you're really what makes this show go, and we'll be back at you next week. To the USA.
Good morning, KBOO listeners. The time is 9 o'clock. I'm Tave Fache Drake, and I'm going to be with you until noon. Coming up next, we have Alternative Radio. Professor of History Alfred McCoy says that military